Well, have you eaten with anybody lately? Maybe I should be more specific. Have you eaten with people you don't live with lately? With vaccines, we've got this whole new world opening up, but it's still a little tricky, right? Everybody's situation is different, so people are comfortable with different things. Adults might be vaccinated, but their kids aren't, and if they've got a high-risk child, they're going to be more cautious. My 17-year-old got his second shot on Friday, and then when I figured he would be wiped out on Saturday morning, he still got a personal best at his track meet. Woot, woot, 5-minute, 12-second mile. Let's see. Sorry, I'm a little excited for him. And my 14-year-old, she gets her first shot tomorrow. So our house is getting there. Not quite there, but we're getting there. It's great that it's finally warm out, so people can eat together outside. But as you set up meals with friends and family, you know, we still need to have conversations to make sure that our guests are comfortable. A friend of mine went to an outdoor family birthday party the other week, and they ordered food in, and everybody was good with that plan. But when people went back for seconds, my friend noticed someone lick his fingers, totally on autopilot, before picking up the serving spoon. So, get vaccinated for yourself and the people around you, and do what you're comfortable with. But, based on my friend's experience, might I suggest individually packaged meals? Just a thought. But figuring out how to eat together has been complicated this past year, to say the least. But people have been figuring it out. One neighborhood I read about had a BYOE gathering. Bring your own everything. I thought was very clever, right? They brought their own chairs, drinks, and snacks and met in one neighbor's yard to enjoy some time together. Genius, genius, and important. Eating together is important because eating together moves relationships further, faster. We may not think about it, but we know it's true, right? When we eat together, we get connected faster. About a year and a half ago, I met a mom whose son runs cross country with my son, and we discovered we had a lot in common. So we decided to go to coffee. Why? Because we know that eating together moves relationships further, faster. That's how we get to know each other. So we went to coffee and ended up talking for like 2 hours. It was the beginning of a friendship. This month, we are talking about 5 ways to bless our neighbors. And we're looking to Jesus for those ways. Today, Jesus invites us to eat together. Now, when we think of Jesus blessing people, we may not think of eating. But eating was central to Jesus' mission of loving others and showing them God's love. A lot of his ministry centered around meals. I mean, think about it. His first miracle at a wedding feast. Okay? One of his most well-known miracles, feeding over 5,000 people. Right? What did he do the night before his crucifixion? He gathered his disciples and he gave them a meal. A meal that we still share to this day. What did he do after his resurrection? He ate breakfast on the beach with his friends. Meals, eating together. And in that culture, eating together was a big deal. It was a statement of friendship. It affirmed the other person's value and worth. Who you ate with was kind of a declaration of who you cared about and who you considered to be on equal footing with you. Which is why the Pharisees kind of lost it when Jesus ate with people like Matthew, the tax collector. This story we have of Jesus eating with tax collectors and sinners is fantastic, because Jesus was all about blessing people, right? He wanted to love people and show them God's love. So he calls a tax collector to be his disciple. A tax collector who worked for the occupying government and routinely overcharged people so he could skim off the top. Now, that's not just Matthew. That's what tax collectors did in that time and place. Matthew, which is just one of many. So when Jesus, who came to bless all people, reached out to Matthew, Matthew immediately had him over for dinner. And while they're having dinner, a bunch of Matthew's friends, other tax collectors, and other people religious leaders considered to be sinners come over and join them. These are people who need God's love. It's clear that these religious leaders aren't going to make time for them, so who's going to show them God's love? Jesus. Jesus sits down and eats with them. He shows them God's love by eating with them, listening to them and talking with them, offering them friendship, being willing to have others view him as being like them. I mean, they're people. People who are marginalized, on the edge of society. And Jesus eats with them. And one of them, Matthew, becomes one of Jesus' closest friends and followers. Henry Nouwen says that when we invite friends for a meal, we do much more than offer them food for their bodies. He says we offer friendship, fellowship, good conversation, and closeness. We offer our guests not only our food and drink, but also ourselves. A spiritual bond grows, and we become food and drink for one another. There's a story in the book we got this series from that talks about that. It talks about a couple praying for an empty house. Okay. The house next door to this couple was a rental, and it was like a revolving door. People moved in and then out, just over and over. And after 5 years of this, when the house was empty again, this couple asked God to give them neighbors they could love and do life with. When the new neighbors moved in, this couple welcomed them to the neighborhood, intentionally using these Blex practices that we're talking about this month, and eventually they invited them over for a cookout to eat together. Well, they ended up becoming friends, and the renters ultimately decided to stop renting and bought their house, largely because of the relationship they built with these neighbors. A spiritual bond formed between these two couples. And now they're really good friends with a strong sense of community. I actually just did part of this myself. I prayed for an empty house for a couple of weeks. We've had an empty house across from us for about a month. They gutted it and were selling it for somebody to come in and put their own stamp on. And so I've been praying for this empty house, and people moved in last week. We're so excited. Including them, we have 3 new families on our cul-de-sac in the last couple of months. I've met 2, but I haven't met the new people who just moved in. So this week, I'm going to take our own advice, and I'm going to deliver chocolate to all 3 of those families. I'm very excited. You can do this with new neighbors, right? Just like you used to drop off homemade cookies or bars back in the day, right? Drop off a little bag of chocolate, include your name and phone number, and say, "Welcome to the neighborhood. Call us if you ever need anything," right? Easy. You can also do this with neighbors you haven't seen for a while, so I'm toying with the idea of challenging myself and stopping by and delivering a little bag to some of the neighbors that I haven't seen since last summer when it was warm outside. You know, easy to do. Deliver a bag like I told the kids to, you know. Deliver it, stand back from the door, and when they answer the door, say hello. Just acknowledge that it's been a long time because, you know, COVID. And just tell them you stopped by to give them a treat and ask how it's going. What's new, right? That's the nugget from today. Okay? Bless your neighbors by eating together. And dropping off an edible nugget opens the conversation. Get it? Today's nugget is a nugget? Yeah. Kiri and I had fun this week. Think about that. All right. Now, most of us are out of practice when it comes to eating together and carrying on a real life conversation, but that's okay. Okay. When we lived in Wisconsin, we hosted a 4th of July barbecue one year for a bunch of friends, and it was the first time we were all meeting the new boyfriend of one of our friends. Turns out, the new boyfriend was so nervous that on the drive to our house, he came up with a whole list of conversation topics so that he wouldn't run out of things to say and that he would be comfortable for this whole interaction that he figured was going to be very overwhelming, okay? Most of us don't get that nervous, right? And it all went fine, by the way. They ended up getting married, all is well in the world. We don't all get that nervous, but you can free yourself from the pressure of knowing what to talk about at a meal if you focus on listening. That's the L we talked about last week. See why we talked about listening before eating together? Okay. Come up with a plan for eating together, and when you do eat together, focus on being present. Ask questions. And listen to the people you want to bless. If you want some practice, go to Invictus this Wednesday night at 7 o'clock and practice with Pastor Kiri and others from Our Saviors and from Cambridge Lutheran. The great thing about these blessed practices is that there's something we can do in our everyday lives. We don't have to add a bunch to our load. I mean, you already eat multiple times a day, right? So just set a goal of including a neighbor in that eating once a week and watch your relationships grow and deepen. Then, when there's something deeper to talk about, you'll know each other. They'll know they can trust you with their struggles or fears, and vice versa. You'll be blessing them as you eat together, showing them God's love and building a relationship of trust. In 2019, CBS ran a story about eating together and how one meal changed the lives of four people. So let's watch that.
We end with a sweet and tender Southern barbecue experience. Steve Hartman serves it up on the road.
For barbecue lovers, Brad's Barbecue in Oxford, Alabama is heaven on earth. But 80-year-old Eleanor Baker says her visit here earlier this month was especially divine.
I think it was a God thing. I think God sent me there.
You think we needed the example?
Yes, that people care about other people and how important it is.
Eleanor is a widow. She lives with her dog, Rufus. And although she has a big family, they mostly live out of town. So Eleanor was alone the night she went to Brad's Barbecue. Security footage shows her entering, there in the purple. And at about that same time, these three young men arrived. They say they were just having a good old time.
We was all just sitting there just talking.
When Jamario Howard noticed Eleanor.
An older woman sitting by herself.
Jamario says he hates seeing people eat alone.
And I seen that.
When most of us see someone eating alone, we feel that way. But our sympathy never solves anything, and Jamario really wanted to fix this. So he got up from his table and sat at hers.
He just came up and he said, I saw you sitting over here alone, and he said, do you mind having some company?
And she said, go right ahead. And then I introduced myself, and she introduced herself, and it's kind of how it all got started.
They all ended up having dinner together.
And it was just a really nice, pleasant evening.
What those 20-somethings did that night speaks volumes about their character. But they say it wasn't entirely altruistic. They enjoyed her company as much as she enjoyed theirs.
Because when we left there, that's all we talked about.
When you make that kind of connection with somebody, it's hard to let it go. Like,
I already feel like we're her grandkids.
So you got room for these guys in your life?
Of course. I'm so glad y'all could make it.
They have all vowed to make room for one another. And certainly, if Eleanor's right, that God played any role in this, it may be to remind us of the joy that awaits just outside the bubbles we live in.
I used to say when I was younger, and I still say today, like, I'm going to change the world somehow. And I don't know how, because I'm not rich, I'm not famous, and I'm not very smart either, so I can't be the president. But we can show the world that it's all right to be kind, and then before long, maybe the world will be a much better place.
Amen. Steve Hartman, on the road, in Oxford, Alabama.
That's a wise young man. Let's bless our neighbors by eating together and help make the world a better place. Amen.